Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Patriots Beat is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more on America's number one sportsbook.
All right, folks, welcome in to another edition of the Patriots Beat podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. I am Mike Cadlick, here joined by 98.5 The Sports Hub's Alex Barth. We're about 4 minutes late. I do have to tell everyone who's joining us here on Friday in this mid-afternoon show that we're 4 minutes late because Alex's fire alarm just went off in his apartment. We may or may not have a guest appearance from a firefighter.
So it wasn't it's like I live right in there's a couple units in my building. So it wasn't in my unit, but I guess they're all connected. So I just heard a fire truck outside. I guess we'll see. But it was right before we hit go, but I'm good. So let's see how much of the show we can get.
I was going to say.
Before it starts again. Because whoever's cooking, I can smell it. It smells great.
We're on to food again.
But here we are. Yeah, seriously.
Again, we're on to food here on the Patriots Beat podcast. We're sponsored by FanDuel now, which is huge. We love. Go to FanDuel.com/Boston. Sign up. Get $200 in bonus bets when you place that first $5 bet. Deposit 10, bet 5. Get $200 in bonus bets at FanDuel.com/Boston. I actually had a listener DM me today and asked about this FanDuel offer. And what this person did is accidentally used promo code Boston. So I want to reiterate that you have to go to FanDuel.com/Boston in that URL, sign up through our URL, and that's how you get your $200 in bonus bets. So please do that. Supports the show, supports our new sponsor at FanDuel. So yeah, FanDuel.com/Boston. It's the best app out there. So Alex, let's get right into it because we were going to do a show today, but I think we decided that once this man was signed, what Mike Gesicki, that it was time to do a show. We got to wrap this thing up on Friday. And so they did it. After the social media speculation, after Mac followed him, after he followed the Patriots, it was in fact true. Sometimes those smoke alarms mean literal smoke alarms. That's funny. We're rolling. But social media smoke sometimes doesn't amount to anything. This time it did. The Patriots have signed tight end Mike Gesicki. 1 year deal worth up to $9 million, according to Mike Reese. And so they've added another weapon. I don't know if it's quite enough yet, but they did in fact make one more. But they've made a couple moves today, but this was really the big one. So what'd you make of it?
Yeah, we're getting there, right? We're getting there. It's starting to really kind of resemble an offense. My first thought, and honestly, this is just me guessing. Bill Belichick has long been a fan of Mike Gesicki.
Yep.
And we'll get into some of what he said about Gesicki in the past in a minute. But I did not think Gesicki was signing a one-year, $9 million contract. And we don't have the details yet. That's $9 million total. So we don't know what the guaranteed money is.
Right.
It's going to be even less. He got only $3 million more than Daniel Aquali did. I wonder if they just saw what Gesicki's market was. It's a player they like and said, you know what? He's talented. Bring him in and we'll figure it out. You know, if he's a talented player, we can find a role for him. It's not like they're paying him an amount of money where he has to constantly be on the field. Maybe he will be, but at this contract, I thought Gesicki was going to get, I don't know, about what Myers and Juju Smith-Schuster got, maybe a little less. I didn't think 1 for 9 was on the table. And we don't know what the guaranteed money is. So you start there.
Right. I mean, put it this way. He was franchise tagged last season at $10.9 million. So he does that, and then he takes a pay cut after, which, I mean, and not guaranteed. The franchise tag's guaranteed, right.
And I don't know that he It's not that he didn't have a bad year last year. He's not a fit in Mike McDaniel's offense. He's just not. And it was his last 2 years with Flores, he put up good numbers. Like, if he puts up those kind of numbers here, it would be the best tight end season in New England since Rob Gronkowski, which I think we would all love to see, right?
Right.
So here's the flip side of it. And I want to get into some of Belichick's past comments. And by the way, yeah, I wrote all of these, and I have these all written out, like the actual quotes, on 98.5thesportshub.com right now. I went through this morning, and I went through a bunch of old press conference transcripts and found where Bill Belichick mentioned Mike Gesicki. And the first real mention is 2019. This is during the week. The Patriots are actually about to play the Bills, but he gets asked about the versatile tight ends entering the league. And he talks about kind of the hybrid fullback tight end players like George Kittle. And then he says, the player that's part, and I'm quoting Belichick here, the player that's part receiver and part tight end, those guys are the kind of guys that do you treat them as a receiver or do you treat them as a tight end? Guys like Gesicki, brings them up unprompted. Guys like Gesicki, players like that, they're not really tight ends. They're not really receivers. They're good players. Those are the types of players that really create the conversation because they can split out, detach from the formation, be in tight end locations, but they're very good receiving tight ends at that position relative to what you normally see there. Those are, I'd say, the hard game plan questions to answer with those type of hybrid players. So right away, formational versatility. That's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Mike Gesicki, formational versatility. So now I'm going to fast forward, and I apologize, Mike, this is going to be a whole thing.
No, let's hear it.
But I think it's important.
I'm eating it up.
In the 2020 season, ahead of the first matchup with the Dolphins, after the first matchup with the Dolphins, Belichick gets asked about the personnel they use. They were very defensive back heavy in that game. I think they used like 8 different defensive backs over the course of that game on defense. Belichick's asked about it. He says, we know that Miami was capable of basically putting 4 receivers out on the field on a lot of their snaps, which they did with Gesicki and then the 3 other wide receivers. Gesicki and then the 3 other wide receivers. Certainly sounds like he's saying something.
Yep.
The next day, Bill's asked about the coverage plan for Gesicki specifically, and he says, Gesicki, he's a big receiver. I mean, he's not really a conventional tight end, but he's a tough matchup in the passing game. Ahead of the second matchup against the Dolphins, here's Belichick again. He's got good receiving skills. He's really, I would say, more of a big receiver than a true tight end, but he functions a little bit in that spot. He's got good quickness, obviously good length, good hands, and instinctive receiver that knows how to get open and can make good catches in tight coverage with his length and his hands. And then another quote from that press conference, guys that have either elite tight end skills or elite receiving skills, guys like Gesicki or Greg Olsen, and guys like that, that maybe aren't used much in the running game, but in terms of matching up and just trying to cover them in the passing game, they're very tough. Now, his stance has changed a little bit. We're getting to the end of the quotes here.
Okay.
His stance has changed a little bit. This was earlier this year in September. Asked about Gesicki. Said, Gesicki is a problem. And then asked directly to define Gesicki's position. He says, I'd call him a big tight end. So that's where Bill's at now. But I'm going to give you one more set of numbers here, and then we can get, and then I'll get to the point of my take because you need all this context.
Yep.
Mike Gesicki, I realize I don't have my notepad here. Mike Gesicki snaps by alignment, and we're going to throw out his rookie year here because that was with Adam Gase and it was a mess. But the years he produced, he lined up in line where tight ends traditionally line up 20.6% of the time, 20.6. He lined up wide 21.4% of the time. So yep, he's out like a receiver, like a boundary receiver, more than he's in line like a traditional tight end.
Yep.
In the slot, Mike, 56.8% of the time. And then he had a handful of snaps in the backfield. So those numbers don't exactly add up to 100. Mm-hmm. But the moral of the story is, I don't think they signed a tight end today. Okay. I think they signed a big slot receiver.
All right. I it makes sense.
I'm done.
I think
you can respond. I'm done.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to make sure you were actually finished, because sometimes you pause for effect. But no, that yeah, I it makes sense. They're not going to use him as an inline tight end. They still don't have a blocking tight end because Hunter Henry is not a great blocker either, and so it's a good thing. It's a good move. Like you said, it's cheap, cheaper than he was last year, obviously. And those stats make a lot of sense, right? It's not really to play tight end. It's to play the Y, right? Like,
right.
And I think about my offense in college, and it doesn't compare to what Bill O'Brien runs, but we had tight ends, and it was basically, they never lined up in the line. They were always in the slot, on the line, in the slot as the Y, right? And they were the tight ends, but they were just bigger wide receivers that you run sail routes with and seam routes with. And you can then scheme them up out of that position where you have a mismatch on maybe an inside slot slot cornerback. And so I agree with you. I think that he's not a great blocker. I think he has this giant catch radius. He's 6'6", I want to say. 250. 6'6",
yep.
6'6",
yep.
250. So he's got a huge catch radius. And I've talked a lot about a security blanket for Mac Jones, a guy who you can, you know, throw it up to and trust to be open and be able to just, you know, chuck the ball up to when you have to in a dire situation. Mike Gesicki can fill that role. And so I agree with you. They're not going to use him as a traditional tight end. They're going to use him to catch the football. And that's where he dominates, and that's where he's been solid. He didn't fit in the Shanahan system because they asked those guys to block a lot. They asked George right. Kittle is in line. I don't know the numbers, but he's in line blocking a lot of the time. Mike Gesicki doesn't do that. He can't do that. So it's a good signing. I'm excited to see what Bill O'Brien can dial up for back with the two tight end sets again. I think it's a good move. I wonder what's next, because you say they signed a receiver, but...
Well, I will just one thing to what you just said. I think the red zone's a big part of this.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the biggest way for this to be a success. I mean, how many times we bang our head against the wall because they couldn't throw the ball in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And let's put the Patriots red zone struggles from 2022 into context here. They were actually pretty good inside the five. Yeah. They never got inside the five because they couldn't get that first down you need to set up the end goal, the high red zone, the 25 to 15 yard line. That's where they really stalled out, and they couldn't really throw the ball from there other than checkdowns. Like, they couldn't throw the ball into the end zone from, like, the 15-yard line. And, look, a lot of that was Patricia. But having a guy who excels in that area of the field, I think, is going to be a massive help. So the biggest thing for me, like, for us to get to the end of the year and say the Mike Gesicki signing was a success, if their red zone numbers improve, like, that's huge for me.
Yeah, I agree. I want to pull something up too that I saw earlier from Mark Daniels about just, you know, where the Patriots are as far as free agency, as far as free agents go. And the one thing that worries me a little bit here is, okay, Gesicki's on a 1-year deal. The next guy they want to bring in, if it's Odell, that's going to be a 1-year deal. If it's Hopkins, he's going to be 31. So, like, assuming they, you know, try and make a move for another guy, even if they don't. Next year's free agency class includes Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki, and that's it for the pass catchers. There's more, but those four guys are here this year, expected to be a big focal point of the offense, and then there's a chance they leave. So talking about consistency and talking about building a rapport and talking about keeping, you know, guys around Mac Jones in a system, that worries me a little bit. Again, I'm not going to say that they shouldn't have signed Mike Gesicki for 1 year because of this, but it's a little bit worrisome that they don't have a guy who Mac really can be the guy who to build up with, right? Like we talk about Jerry Jeudy being that guy if they bring him in and sign him to a massive deal. That worries me a little bit, but at the end of the day, I like the signing.
Well, I on that point, Mike, this is something we've talked about. They don't necessarily have the luxury right now of worrying about the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's a fair point too.
Right. They threw that out the window last year when they tried to make Matt Patricia the offensive coordinator. They have already blown through a year of Mac's rookie deal. We're getting up to the end of it. Yeah. This is a must-win year for them for a number of reasons. This is a must-win year for them.
Have success now and then put it together.
Right. You know, if it all works out this year, then you worry about that next spring. And hey, if it all works out, you look good.
Right.
Maybe you start realistically entering the conversation for a guy like Odell Beckham, who we're hearing again, like teams that are contenders are the ones that are really getting the most interest from him. Figure it out this year and worry about it after that. it's not, you're not wrong in that. Okay. Yeah. This is going to look very different next year. They could lose a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball next year. I don't think that that's something that they can really put a ton of stock in right now. They have to be good in 2023, period.
So let's talk about this year then. And we'll talk about what they have from a skill position standpoint. And we'll loop in the new Jerry Jeudy rumor into this. And so while the Patriots
have... Well, why bother? There'll be another one in 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. So as we know, the Patriots have inquired on Jerry Jeudy. However, last night, Mike Kliss from a reporter out in Denver reported that it's looking unlikely now that Sutton or Jeudy will be moved. So right now, the Patriots' skill position group on offense is Mac Jones at quarterback, Ramondre Stevenson, James Robinson, and Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris at running back, maybe Ty Montgomery. Wide receivers, you got Juju Smith, you got Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, Tyquan Thornton. And at tight end, you have Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki. Seems like a quality group, and they have improved from last year. You swap out Mike Gesicki and – or you swap out Jonnu Smith and Jacoby Myers for Mike Gesicki and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's an A+. That's a solid move. That works. That's an improvement.
In its own. On its own.
Yes.
I still think they need to add another piece, though.
That's my question. On that. Yeah. Are you okay with this? Is Tyquan Thornton going to turn into that take the top off the defense, dictate coverage kind of guy in his second season? Do they still need to add a true number one? Because I think they still need to add, although that kind of pushes Tyquan away a little bit. But what do you think? I want to hear what you have to say first.
I mean, if they really believe Tyquan's going to take a leap, and he does take a leap, they probably have enough.
Yeah.
I'd hedge that bet. I'd bring in some. And then look, if it all works out, then Kendrick Bourne's maybe a guy you can deal with the deadline, or Devontae Parker's maybe a guy you can deal with the deadline. But you can't have too much talent at wide receiver heading into training camp. You can't. I'd like to see them add another player. I will say I've come more around to the idea of making it work with Jerry Jeudy since last night. Whenever they signed Juju Smith-Schuster, and I was kind of out on him.
Yeah.
That's grown on me a little bit now, especially now that they add Gesicki, and it's like, all right, well, you have some real size. You can get creative. So,
yeah,
I'm not out on that. The two reports we got, right, from Ben Albright and Mike Kliss were, all right, they want a first or a second and a player. And then the following report, like a couple hours later, was the Broncos are trading him, which to me translated says from the Broncos, hey, you're not giving us enough.
Yeah.
That price may be high. I'm not overextending to get Jerry Jeudy. Now, some of the trades I've seen thrown out there, Kendrick Bourne in a second, sure. Jack Jones in a second. Look, if they're going to be done with Jack Jones, and I don't think they should be, give him another chance because he can play. But if they're done with Jack Jones, rather trade him than just have him sit on the bench like Kendrick Bourne did last year. Jack Jones in a second. Yeah, I could see that. Josh Uche in a second. He's on a contract year. If you know you're not going to re-sign him, it's a good edge class. Okay, sure, you could sell me on that. But, you know, I've seen some people say Ramondre. No. I've seen some people say Mike Onwenu. I don't like tinkering with the line right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade Onwenu.
I really don't want to give up the first-round pick because they still have other needs. Corner, tackle, I think you need to address one of those positions with a first-round talent.
Mm-hmm.
But –
if you're reading the chat right now, we do have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, okay.
The Dolphins have signed Jake Bailey.
Ah, okay.
It is breaking news. It's not terribly important, but Jake Bailey, Patriots punter from last season, suspended and then cut. He has signed with the Miami Dolphins. He visited there today and has officially signed. So I don't know if we want to cut off our wide receiver talk, if you want to give a quick
I was pretty much done with my points at that point.
So. Okay, perfect. But yeah, no, we'll go back to wide receiver for a second, and then we'll talk about the rest of the moves that went on, because I would tend to agree that they still need to bring someone else in, and I like the idea of Jeudy. And I like the idea of Jeudy because that turns into your guy that you trade for, and then you extend him, and money is money at that point, and you do it, and you make him and Mac the guys here for the next 5-10 years. That sounds like wishful thinking, maybe, but I think it would be worth it. They have a little bit of a rapport from Alabama. And I think it just makes the most sense. We've had this conversation for 4 straight days now, and maybe they're not going to do it. But I do think you still need to add something else to the offense to help you dictate coverage, help you find those true mismatches with – put it this way. If you get a number one and then you have twos and threes on Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Gesicki, Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne. Like now you're cooking with something, and now you allow Bill O'Brien to really run that offense with high quality skill position players and a quarterback in Mac who's smart in an offense that, you know, is really utilizes the quarterback making smart decisions and kind of using his brain. And so we'll see what happens. I think there's definitely still room on the wide receiver front to do so. And I think they may end up making that happen. We will see. But let's continue on. And do you want to say anything more on Jake Bailey? Do you want to do Jake Bailey?
I'm interested to see if he can get back into shape, because we know what he looks like when he's healthy, but he basically hasn't been healthy for 2 years. And I think he has a little bit of the yips, you know, back injury. Those are usually like muscle things. The humidity, the hot weather in Florida might help him out.
Yeah. Loosen up.
Look, it's given what Patriots special teams have been, if he turns it around in Miami, that's going to be a thing. We're going to be like, well, why couldn't they figure it out with this guy? Because we know he was talented. So
he was an all pro in 2020. Is that right?
Right. He was an all pro in 2020, which was Joe Judge. I believe Joe Judge's last year here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He got hired in New York in 2021. So if they can't get like I said this when they, it's a little different, but when they cut Ryan Allen for Jake Bailey, Ryan Allen should have been the MVP. Yeah. Of Super Bowl 53.
Super Bowl, right? Yeah.
And they moved on, and it was a little head scratching, but look, it worked out. Yeah. You know, at least initially, where he had that great year. He was good as a rookie, Bailey was in 2019, and he had an all pro year in 2020. They've got to hit on the next guy now, because it is going to be something people look at. If Bailey goes, starts killing it in Miami, it's a rough look. Why could they fix him, but the Patriots can't?
Right. And they clearly have a wide open roster spot, because as much as Michael Pilardi was a cool dude and had that one really solid game, they need to fill the punter position. So if they lost out on Jake Bailey for whatever happened with the suspension and him, you know, screwing around with whatever it was with the training and all that, that would be too bad if you missed out on a guy who was an all-pro, had some injury problems, and now goes to Miami and is a quality punter. So I guess we'll have to wait and see, but Jake Bailey is now a Miami Dolphin. He stays in the division. Before we continue on.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, the other big Patriots move today, Alex, was Jalen Mills. The Patriots cut cornerback Jalen Mills today. Doing so will save them roughly $5 million in cap space, but the room, as small as they are height-wise, got a whole lot smaller with Jalen Mills leaving. Mills was, I believe, one of the only corners that was 6 foot or higher.
I can give you the list
let's
here.
Hear the heights. Yep.
So it's Jonathan Jones at 5'10", Jack Jones at 5'11", Marcus Jones at 5'8", Miles Bryant at 5'9". Sean Wade at 6'1", Rodney Randall at 6 feet. And some people have asked me about Quandre Mosley, who's listed as a corner. I think he's more of a safety in their system, but we can include him at 6'2". But Randall and Mosley have really never played in the NFL. Wade obviously has been limited. I will say, though, the other thing is, so we talk about the heights. Jonathan Jones is 29. Everybody else I just named is 25 or younger.
Okay.
So it is a short room, and it is a young room.
So it's interesting to me. They cut Mills, who has been here and started a lot of games for them, and is a guy who was pretty good and could, you know, be a really good number two outside corner. And, you know, it wasn't going to get beat a lot. But they decided to cut him to save $5 million in cap space. So it gets my wheels turning. I don't know if they're doing it to free up money for another move coming soon. That's sort of what it feels like. But it also leaves a really big hole at cornerback. And so immediately, my head went to the draft at corner, because it doesn't really seem like anybody's out there on the free agent market that would really, improve over Mills while also only saving, you know, $5 million in space. You kind of got to weigh your options there, right? And so I look at the three guys at the top of the draft, and I look at Christian Gonzalez and Joey Porter Jr. and Devin Witherspoon. One of those guys will be there at pick 14. And the more I think about it, they filled receiver with Juju. and Gesicki. And yeah. they've fixed themselves up with tackle a little bit now with Connor McDermott and Riley Reiff and Calvin Anderson. So the only position that, I mean, okay, they signed Jonathan Jones, but that was more of a re-signing, and he's not a number one corner. He's a slot
not number
corner.
One boundary corner, yeah.
Right. He's a slot corner who played on the boundary, was pretty good at number as a number two boundary corner, but they still have a major hole at corner, and there's not anyone in order available in free agency. So I think they go to the draft. I think it really opens up cornerback at pick 14 in the draft now, and I can see themselves absolutely taking one of the top three guys there.
So if we fall, I don't know if we can call it a trend. It's been 2 years, but the 2 years that Matt Groh has kind of been like the head personnel guy, right? Mm-hmm. People have heard me say this before. 2021, throw out positional value. Biggest hole in the depth chart was quarterback. They took a quarterback. Last year, the biggest hole in the depth chart was guard. They took a guard. Coming in all of this, I felt like the biggest hole in the depth chart was obviously tackle. It's corner now. Yep. You know, they've added Riley Reiff, who they gave like low-end starter money to. He's going to make the team. I don't think their plan is for him to like be the answer, but that's the second biggest hole. Because at corner, like, what are you doing? You have to face guys like T. Higgins. You have to face guys like Davante Adams. You have to face these big receivers. And at the end of the day, like, this is what the Bengals did last year. Marcus Jones, Jonathan Jones, they're kind of sticking with these guys.
Yeah.
And then what the Bengals figured out was, all right, we're just going to throw jump balls then. We're not even going to try to beat you with routes. We're just going to throw the ball 10 feet in the air. Right. And Marcus Jones, great player. Like, I think he's going to have a lot of success in this league. But 5'8's 5'8, 5'9's 5'9. Like, you can't coach height.
Can't teach height.
And
can't
when you
teach
have a 6'4, 6'5 receiver, it becomes a problem. So I look at it right now. I still think tackle's a must in the top 100, but they're probably in a spot. Now, I would still take tackle in the first round, but it doesn't matter because I'm not making the decision.
Okay.
I think they're in a spot where Riley Reiff can start at right tackle to start the season. They can take a guy who's maybe a little more raw on day two, a guy like Darnell Wright, coach him up, right? And then maybe if he doesn't take over during the year in 2023, he's your starter in 2024. He steps into that role. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the plan at corner?
So and that's remember, why they still so need that's, a free I want to cut you off.
Yeah.
Only because if you don't know the plan at corner, then why are you still taking tackle in the first round? Why wouldn't you
because
not take
I think,
corner?
Because I think you can get first round caliber corners in the second round this year.
Okay.
Like I've said this before, Julius Brents, Darius yeah. Rush, those guys are going in the first round most years. This year is just insanely stacked.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I think the gap between, say, like Joey Porter and Julius Brents is a lot smaller than the gap between, say, Broderick Jones and Anton Harrison or Broderick okay. Jones and Darnell Wright. Right. That's why. Fair. Not saying okay. don't address it. But the point being.
Yeah, go ahead.
Corner, like, what are you doing at corner? There isn't a clear path. And we still don't know. Look, we'll get to Taylor Rapp in a second here. It sounds like they're still talking to him.
Yep.
But he's not a lock to sign. What are you doing at free safety? Is it going to be Jonathan Jones? Because now not only are you short, you're also right. really just don't have a ton of depth there.
Yeah.
So I think cornerback is clearly the biggest need on this team. The last 2 years, the 2 years Matt Groh's been in charge, the biggest need becomes the pick in the first round. Maybe they trade for corner tomorrow and you can throw this all out. But as it stands right now, really feels like corner. It's setting up for corner in the first round, corner at 14. And I mean, you said the three guys. It's Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, Joey Porter Jr. I think they've established themselves as the top of this class. Now,
yep.
I don't think Christian Gonzalez makes it to 14. I would be really surprised. Yeah, I'm ready to Sharpie him in at top 10. I don't know that they get their pick of Witherspoon and Joey Porter, but I think they should get one, like you said before. And the one other guy I'll throw in, even if there's a run on corners and they lose all those guys, I like Deontay Banks from Maryland. Very, very good combine. I kind of went back, I rewatched his film a little bit. He wouldn't be a bad pick either. I'd rather have Porter or Witherspoon, but like, I'm not going to, if they both go, I wouldn't be crushed if they take Banks at 14.
How tall is Banks?
I think he's just, I forget if he's 6 foot or 6 foot one, but like he's tall enough. I wouldn't say he's tall, but he's tall enough. Maybe 6'1". If he's 6'1", like that's the sweet spot for corners right now. Is 6'1". See, all right, he checked in at 6'3" at the combine. It's fine. It's tall.
Yeah, that'll work.
Just get him some longer spikes on his cleats.
For a run that's desperate, that'll work. And he ran the fastest 40, right? Did you say that already?
Maybe not the fastest.
Not the fastest.
He ran a 4.35. Yeah. He was fast.
Yeah, so that'll do.
No, I think Darius Rush is the guy I really like, but he's a little more raw. Yeah. He's going to second round.
Yeah.
Hang on. Now I want to see who ran the fastest 40 of all the corners at the combine. It was DJ Turner, because he had the fastest 40 of anybody. Banks was third. So the reason you were thinking that is DJ Turner ran a 4.26. Ja'Corian Bennett, who's the other Maryland corner, ran a 4.3. And then Banks ran a 4.35. Okay. And those were the top three.
Gotcha.
But Bennett's 5.11 and hasn't played nearly as much. And is more inconsistent. If they want to take Banks on day three, that's if they want to take Bennett on day three, that's fine. But Banks to me is the guy.
All right, I want to pull something up real quick for the guy, everyone watching. Juju Smith. Yes. Juju Smith is here.
Ah, all right.
Juju Smith is in Foxborough. He has signed officially his contract with the New England Patriots. He's on the field. So Juju is here. Figured I'd
Did he change his AVI yet? Yeah, it looks like he did.
It's him and a Patriots team. So Juju's here.
Nice. Well, because it was the Chiefs one before.
Yes.
So.
Yep. So that's that. I figured I'd throw that up there before we get back to cornerback. Juju is in the building and has signed with the Patriots.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to corner. You mentioned trading for one. They should have been in on Jalen Ramsey.
I'm still fine that they passed on that. I'm still perfectly fine that they passed on that.
Who's available? Who?
I have no idea. I just kind of said that. Off the top of my head, I really can't think. Maybe they had a veteran, like guy like Marcus Peters is a guy I like for them.
Okay.
It's still probably their first round pick.
Yeah, that's
but
what
like,
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I like it in the first round. We'll leave corner there. And let's talk about the safeties that the Patriots sort of seem to be in on. We'll rotate from corner to safety, as Jonathan Jones might do. They still are in. Thanks, appreciate that. They are still in on Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp visited here yesterday. Sounded like he was going to Cincinnati. But the Patriots are still in. So he left without a deal, but it sounds like they're still very much involved. That was according to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. So this is a guy who, like you said, Alex, will play free safety, will fill in probably Devin McCourty's role at free. And if they get him here, allows them to not have to bump Jonathan Jones back. And, I mean, if Mills was here, it would have allowed them not to have to bump Mills back. But regardless, this feels like something that probably should get done and, you know, put this one over the finish line. Get yourself a true free safety in here. In Taylor Rapp, who can do the job, and if they're still on it, in on him, like it says they are, feels like we could be involved in maybe a bidding war with Cincinnati. I don't know. I mentioned that last night on the show. But what do you think about them still continuing to stay involved with Rapp?
Yeah, look, if they do what they've done, and then they add signing Taylor Rapp on top of it, I still want the number one receiver.
Yeah,
I'm still interested in Jeudy and Hopkins and Beckham and that group, but they add Rapp to what they've done. That's a solid first week.
Yeah, it really is.
That is a solid, like, not to take away from what they've done. I'm not saying if they don't sign Taylor Rapp, it's a failure. Right. But, like, I don't know. It feels like one more move really kind of I wanted the move. I thought, like, coming in today, I was like, one more move sticks at home. And then they signed Gesicki, and I don't know. It didn't move the needle for me. I like the signing, but, like, Taylor Rapp moves the needle a little bit for me.
Okay.
I'm like, all right. Like, they're not going to try playing somebody out of position back at safety.
Right.
They're not going to try throwing somebody back there who hasn't been back there, who's not necessarily the strongest tackler. They're going to put a guy back there who is truly, honestly, a fit at the position. I'd feel really good if we can come away saying that. I think, by the way, that's true about Nick Scott as well. I just like Taylor Rapp a little bit more. I like the makeup.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I'm more familiar with his game too, so that may be part of it.
Yeah, but we can touch that too, because they are Patriots are also interested in Nick Scott, and also a Rams safety. That was from Mark Daniels from MassLive, who reported that. He has 157 tackles and 4 interceptions over the last 4 seasons in LA. Solid player. But I'm kind of with you. I would rather Rapp over Nick Scott, but they're in on the safety position. That is factual. They are in and involved in talking to those guys.
I like also Rapp's what, 25, right?
I believe.
He's a guy. So like Scott's going to be entering his age 28 season.
Right.
3 years is a lot, in the NFL. Yeah, so Taylor Rapp is 25. He just turned 25. That's a guy to me that like can grow with the program, right? Has the potential to become a guy here,
right?
Because you don't want to have a ton of rotation at that spot. You'd like to have some consistency at that free safety spot. And, you know, he's 25. Maybe he's got a year or two still of progressing and getting even better. And then maybe you go to another contract. And like, he to me is like a guy that could be here for multiple contracts, Taylor Rapp. So that's why I'm not gonna be mad if they sign Nick Scott. Like the whole thing I just said about, hey, they have that position locked in, I'll still feel good about it. But if I could pick Taylor Rapp.
Yeah, I would.
If I could pick Taylor Scott, sure,
you know, put them together. I would agree. That's sort of how I felt about Jesse Bates when that was an idea.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, 25-year-old, younger, can be a guy who grows with the program here. Obviously, the price was way too high. So if you can get Taylor Rapp to fill a role, I'm okay with that as well. So we'll see where that goes. But Patriots are in on safeties. The other sort of piece of news around the league that I wanted to touch on before we open it up for Q&A and wrap up this week of free agency was Jonah Hill. That's the week. Jonah Williams.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Jonah Williams, tackle for the Bengals, left tackle. He has requested a trade. The Bengals signed Orlando Brown this week to a mega contract. And I think the idea was that Jonah Williams would bump to right tackle. Jonah Williams does not want to do that, and I don't blame him. You get paid a lot more money at left tackle, and he should, you know, try and stick a left tackle. And so he requests a trade. They still have question marks on the line. Trent Brown, they could cut, save a lot of money. I think it's $10 million. Are you interested in bringing Jonah Williams here? He's a guy who I think played with Mac Jones. He played with Mac Jones at Alabama.
Sounds right.
Was his left tackle at Alabama. I remember when everyone was in a big scuttlebutt about Belichick and Josh McDaniels being on the field at Mac Jones's pro day. There was a clip and Bill Belichick asked, who's the best player here? Nick Saban told him it's Jonah Williams. And so,
no, that wouldn't be, because Jonah Williams drafted in 2019. We're thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
Anyway,
so maybe it wasn't.
He would have played with Mac, but he wasn't the starter that full season. The starter that full season, I'm finding it.
Probably Tua. It's probably Tua.
Right. Well, Tua got hurt. You're thinking of Landon Dickerson. Who was
he was his center. He was his center.
The guy who was doing cartwheels with the torn ACL. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, regardless.
Not taking anything away from Jonah Williams, but yeah, you're thinking of Landon Dickerson.
Okay, sure. But regardless, I think so. Still, Jonah Williams was the guy who Saban told Belichick that he's the best player here.
No, because he wouldn't have been at Max Pro Day.
I think it was a different Pro Day. I think it was a different Pro Day. That's where my confusion is. Regardless, Jonah Williams, Alabama tackle, was a solid player in college. He was a first round pick. Request a trade. Alex, should the Patriots make a move for him?
Let's see what they want, right? I'm not giving up 14. It's a good tackle draft. You're going to get somebody much cheaper, somebody you don't have to pay soon. But I like the idea of having an established player at the position. I'll say this. They don't need to have him and Trent Williams on the roster. If they cut Trent Williams, this becomes much more real to me. Yeah. But if they're going to have Trent, I don't need to see Trent Williams and Jonah Williams. I'd love to see Trent Williams here. It's the end of the week, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to see Trent Brown and Jonah Williams.
Trent Williams and Jonah Hill are the bookends of your offensive line.
It's still probably a decent offensive line because it is Trent Williams. I don't need to see Trent Brown and Jonah Williams compete to the compete for left tackle spot in camp. I don't need to see that. So if Trent Brown's going to get cut, yeah, look at it more seriously. Can you get him for 46? Can you get him for kind of what we're talking about, maybe trading for these wide receivers for? I'm more interested in that. But if they're going to go ahead with Trent, like, you don't trade for Jonah Williams and make him another body. Like, if you trade for him, he's the guy. Because you then got to pay him. Right. Let's not forget that. Like, you don't trade for him. You don't trade top 100 pick for him for 1 year. He's on his fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. You don't trade a top 100 pick for him, then let him walk in a year that's very strong at tackle.
Fine by me. I just, you know, again, I think that Jonah Williams' upside at this point might be higher than, you know, call it Trent Brown. But I still think at the end of the day, probably go into the draft with it, keep the sort of piecemeal offensive line you've got going now, and then move forward. But he did request a trade, so I wanted to put that on the table.
Sure.
So that's the big Patriots news of the day. It is Mike Gesicki is here. Jalen Mills is gone. Jake Bailey is gone. They have interest in Taylor Rapp and Nick Scott. And Jonah Williams is on the table for trade. That being said, we got about 20-ish minutes left. Maybe cut a little bit shorter than that. But let's get to some questions if you guys have them in the chat. And we'll wrap this week of free agency up using you guys to run the table before we get out of here. So fill out the chat as we finish this thing up.
What do we got?
Let's see. No questions yet. So
I'm going to do this. I almost did it on Twitter earlier. I didn't. Oh, where'd it go?
Sorry.
Somebody talking about Josh Allen. That's not it. Although we can answer this. Cutting Trent Brown doesn't make sense. What would they do with the cap space at this point? Odell Beckham. Or Hopkins is going to want a new contract. Or Judy's going to want a new contract. Like, trust me, they could find ways to use it.
Right.
This must have been the second half and back and forth. But, like, you know, I'm guessing this is something about the Bills winning the division.
Yeah.
I don't know anything like he did, but I'm going to go Brian Windhorst here. Something's happening in Buffalo. Right? Stephon Diggs. Last week goes on the shop. Let me find the exact quote.
You're pulling a page out of my book here.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs last week goes on the shop and says, asked about the Bills' lack of success in the playoffs. Doesn't make any sense. I'll rack my brain with this S at this point. I think it's more execution than anything. S is small little pieces on why it's not going right. We've got the players, we've got the plays. Why S ain't coming together? That's where you draw some of those questions. This is after, of course, he had that tweet storm after he blew up at Josh Allen after they lost. Then he had the tweet storm.
Yep.
And then meanwhile, now it looks like on Instagram, he's unfollowed the Bills and followed the Cowboys, taking all his Bills pictures off social. Then you had Cole
plays there.
Then you had Cole Beasley today. Zast. I don't think he was asked about it, actually. I think he said it unprompted. Said something along, I don't have it exactly in front of me, but something along the lines, actually, no, wait, I do. It should be right here. Cole Beasley, unprompted. Only QB in the entire league you can put in front of Rodgers right now is Mahomes, and that's it. The disrespect is crazy. This is Cole Beasley who plays for the Buffalo Bills. Caught passes from Josh Allen.
Yep.
This is now two Bills receivers. I don't want to say we're throwing Josh Allen under the bus, but I think maybe have some questions. That's it. I just think that's interesting.
So that's all you got. Why are they doing this, Wendy?
Well, maybe Buffalo isn't the football utopia it's been painted to be for the last 2 years, I guess is my point.
They just are better. Without Diggs, I still think they're better than the Patriots.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, just patting their little butts right in a Super Bowl was too much last year. And it's going to be too much this year. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, I agree. Shout out Kieran for keeping on the trend from last night. garlic bread. But do you think Hunter Henry can get similar production to his first year here? Hunter Henry's first year, he had 9 touchdowns. This year, he had 2. Plain and simple, he was much better the first season with Josh than he was in year 2 with Matt Patricia. I do. I think that they're going to dial it up for Hunter Henry, especially with the addition of Gesicki. I think – I don't know if the numbers will be the same as year one, but like the overall impact that he has on the team will be the same, if not more. I expect big things from Hunter Henry from a receiving position this year.
Well, it's tough to say, cause we don't know how they're going to use Gesicki, right? But relative to the playing time, yes, I think he can get back to the numbers. Everybody's production was down last year, and we all know why. So I don't think it's unrealistic. At the same time, like, I think from a fantasy football point of view, I think the numbers are probably a little lower just because Gesicki's going to cut into some of those reps. This is a good question. Here. Still draft Darnell Washington at 46. Mike Sky. Mike thinks he's not going to be there. Mike thinks this is disrespecting the board.
I do think that's disrespecting the board. I don't think Darnell Washington will be there at 46. He's too dang good. That being said, he's a blocker. The guys who are here are not. So I think it still could be in play, especially with Gesicki only here on a one-year deal.
I think when it comes to tight ends in the draft as a whole, I really like the idea still of getting a project player on day three, really any kind of player. Because like you said, Henry, Gesicki, one-year deals, contract deals. What better player to mentor Zach Kuntz than Mike Gesicki, who's the same player, right? Yep. So I'm in on that. But like you said, they don't have that blocking tight end right now. I think people are maybe a little too worried about that because we know in a pinch they'll throw another tackle out there.
Yeah, right.
Right, to take care of it.
And now they have the depth.
And by the way, I think Calvin Anderson's like a sneaky good sixth tackle because of his athleticism. But, you know, it's more predictable and it's not ideal, but they'll do it. They can do it. That being said, if they are going to take a tight end in the top 100, it's Darnell Washington. That's the guy at this point. Like, we can be done with Michael Mayer. Done with Dalton Kincaid. We can be done with Luke Musgrove. We can be done with even Sam LaPorta. Sam LaPorta is probably the second guy, if you were to say behind Washington, mm-hmm. who's the one top 100 tight end you look at for them. But in terms of the likelihood, not necessarily as a player, but in terms of the likelihood for the Patriots, the fit for the Patriots, it's a big drop off from Darnell Washington to Sam LaPorta. I agree with you. I don't think Darnell Washington's there at 46. Mm-hmm. I still don't know that he makes it, that he ends up in the first round, though. Like, he could. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes towards the end of the first round. I look at the Bengals sitting there, don't need a tight end, can kind of afford a luxury pick. Now, safety might be in play there, too, but it's not a great safety class. Like, I don't know that there's a player that makes sense to take there at safety for them. But, like, a Barmore trade, you trade up into, like, the late 30s, early 40s if he falls a little bit. If they're going to draft a tight end in the top 100, to me, that's what it looks like. If he's there at 46, makes a ton of sense, actually.
Yeah, it does. I agree. I like it. Sorry, I should have had one queued up, but I was listening to you enjoy.
I appreciate that. Respect.
I was listening to you talk about my friend Darnell Washington.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Look, if they walk away from this draft with, like, let's say they trade up, right? The second round. So they make their first round pick, tackle, corner, whatever. But, like, what if they walk away from this draft with Darnell Washington and Zach Kuntz?
Then we would be ecstatic, the two of us, for their
tight end. Then the Boston TE party's back. In 2024.
Right.
In 2024, but, like,
right.
Holy crap, what a pairing that would be.
If they roll out Henry and Gesicki this year and then the following year let them walk and it's Darnell Washington and Zach Kuntz, we are cooking with freaking gas on Patriots.
That would be – and look, they have 11 draft picks. Like, they can kind of fool around if they want. If Kuntz falls a little bit, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. I don't think they're going to do it, but it's a fun thought.
Yeah. So we said that Christian Gonzalez probably won't be there at 14. So if you had to choose, would you go Porter Jr. or I swear to God, I almost just said Reese Witherspoon.
That's ridiculous.
That's how much this is kicking my behind. But Devin Witherspoon or Joey Porter Jr.?
I'd go Porter Jr. They would go Witherspoon.
Let's go.
Like, history tells us Witherspoon.
I'm not buying that. I'm just not. I don't think that Joey Porter is truly going to have a factor in their draft.
It's not even a Joey Porter thing. It's a Penn State thing. And it's,
Bill O'Brien's from Penn State.
Who's Devin Witherspoon's coach? If this was like way, no, Bill O'Brien was at Penn State when Mike Gesicki was there. He recruited Mike Gesicki. And then left. This is so far removed from that. Who's Devin Witherspoon's head coach? At Illinois. It's Bert Bielma, former Patriots assistant, friend of Bill.
Yep.
That's why they're going to go with Witherspoon over Porter. They should know the player better. That's why I think they'd go Witherspoon. But yeah. I don't think it's much of a difference. And I don't think they'll have the luxury of this choice. I think if it comes down to this, the decision will be made for them by one of the teams picking ahead of them. But I think if you ask them who they'd rather have, I think it would be Witherspoon.
Yeah. I would agree, but I want Joey Porter. He's been my guy all draft.
I like Joey Porter better too. That's fine.
Let's go back to Coons. Cause I really don't know here. Where do you think his ceiling and floor is in the draft?
This is a tough one. Because he had the great combine and the raw skill set is there, but he had the serious injury last year and he really only has 1 year of production. It's kind of a Tyreek Woolen thing where last year with Tyreek Woolen, we said second to fourth and he went in the fifth. If Zach Kuntz sneaks into the back end of the top 100, I won't be surprised. If Zach Kuntz is there at like pick 180, I won't be surprised. It's really hard to tell with him and guys like the 1 year of production coming off a serious injury. He has like every single one of those like stock impacting traits, like all of those boxes are checked. So he's just all over the freaking board and it makes it hard to tell.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ends up in the top 100, but I wouldn't be shocked. And some of that's the depth of this class too. Most years, I think he's a top 100 pick, even with the questions.
Really?
Would trading for Brandon Cooks be enough for me? Would that move the needle enough? Yes. They had Brandon Cooks today. This is going to be a fun weekend. I'm very happy that they did very well.
We have Patriots news.
We do have Patriots news. Yep.
I'm going to keep using this tool now that I figured out how to use it more often.
All right.
The Patriots have signed Chris Board, a 2-year deal, $7.6 million per source. Special team star is being paid by New England. That's $3-ish million a pop if you take it for what it's worth there. I know that there's going to be more details to come in, but the Patriots, like we said yesterday, you said that this was likely going to happen after the visit, and it in fact has. So Board played with the Ravens for a while. He then went to the Lions, and Belichick talked him up when they played last year, and so it's now happening. The Patriots have signed a linebacker who really is just a core special teamer. So Matthew Slater.
No, I don't think he's just a core special teamer. He's kind of got some of that Brandon Bolden thing going on. Like, he's going to play. Okay. He's not going to start on defense, but he's going to give them some snaps on defense.
All righty. Well, there you have it. Tell us more about Chris Board if you can.
That's it. He's going to be a great special teamer. He's going to give you some snaps on defense. Last year, Bill Belichick called him the best special teams player we'll play against all year.
All right. Are you okay with them shelling out $6.7 million over 2 years to him?
Yeah, there's not going to be a ton of guaranteed money on that.
All right. Yeah.
And if you're complaining about this money and you're somebody who also complained about the special teams last year, no, pick one.
Like this guy?
Yeah. So it's seven. It's first of all, it's 6.7. It's over 2 years. So that's like three and change a year. And we'll see how much is guaranteed. His cap hit's going to end up being like 1% of the salary gap. So I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. We have brought in another special teamer. Let's wrap up a few more questions before we get out of here. Should the Patriots draft a center?
So I've seen a lot of centers on like mock drafts people send me.
Yeah.
They could take one late. I don't know. I think they really like Cody Russey, who they signed last year as UDFA. They have David Andrews. I don't mind getting another, and they still have James Ferentz. I don't mind getting another center in the equation, but you can do that like sixth, seventh round. I don't think they need to. Like, I've seen people mocking centers to them in like the fourth round. That feels too much. That's too rich for me at that point. Yeah, I don't know.
I would agree. And I know that we've talked about it. I think we talked about it towards the end of the season where we didn't know if David Andrews would come back. Just he's getting up there in age and, you know, it kind of feels like he had a health scare at one point and he's sort of the old guy on the team now, older guy rather, but he's still here. I don't know how much longer he'll be here, but he's here for this year. So I don't think they necessarily need it. I'm with you. All right. Sorry, I'm just trying to filter out these questions. It's a lot of a lot of people mad about. Let's bring this up. A lot of people mad about the signing. What do you think about Zay Flowers at 14? Like, I keep hearing this, and I talked about it last night when I was on the Pat's Pulpit show with Pat Lane, and it's like talking about redundancy with Judy and Juju. If you bring in Zay, I feel like that adds even more redundancy to the slot receiver position. Where,
yeah,
maybe rather a bigger guy, but at that point, I don't want to take Quentin Johnson at 14. So I kind of, as much as I was in on wide receiver at 14, I kind of feel myself peeling back a little bit more there.
Yeah, if he was like faster, and he's fast, but he's not that, if he's like a burner, right? If he was like a low four, three guy, I'd be like, all right, maybe, yeah. But again, there's so much redundancy with Juju. And again, I think Gesicki's going to end up being a slot player as well. And Bourne's going to contribute there. And I just,
yeah,
you need a clear plan for a player you take in the first round.
Right.
How is this player going to contribute? And the answer to that, like, it should be a significant amount. There should be things built around them. I just don't see that with Zay in New England. And it's not about him, the player. It's just if they draft him, he's going to end up playing like 30% of their snaps. And we're all going to sit here and talk about how it was a bad pick. Yeah. I zero interest in that. Right. So unless they're going to start trading receivers, which, by the way, if they trade a receiver, it's probably four receivers. Like, the one trade we're all talking about right now is Jerry Jeudy.
Right, it's the Jeudy trade.
And by the way, if they add Jeudy, then absolutely not. And there's still going to be people that sit here and say, all right, well, they've added Juju, they've added Gesicki, and they've added Jerry Jeudy. So now all they need to do is add Zay Flowers, right? Like, no, I get you guys like him. He went to BC. It's cool. I that ship, to me, has sailed.
Yeah, I agree. Is this similar?
Well, this, to me, Edelman and Amendola, yes and no. Like, you're going to, if it's Jerry Jeudy, yes.
Right.
Those are two guys who are very experienced and they really dumped a lot on their plates. Doing that with a rookie is a massive ask. I would also say that was a few years ago, the slot corners in the league now are much better than they were then. Teams are more equipped to handle dual slot than they were then.
Right, right. I did. So Mac trolled last night, or two nights ago, after I tweeted the thing about the following. Mac then went on another following rampage and just followed Odell and Hopkins to continue messing with us. And DeAndre did end up following him back. DeAndre Hopkins did also follow Dak Prescott on Instagram. And there's been some rumors that he could end up in Dallas as well. So I think the Instagram following thing is over. I do want to not take all of the credit for that because I did see a few on Twitter and other people noticed everything as well. Yes, I did see that. So DeAndre Hopkins has followed Mac Jones back on Instagram. So who knows if something else is cooking. We're going to look for one more question and then we're going to wrap this thing up. If I can find one.
Did you have like a specific one you wanted or?
No, not really.
All right, let's go with.
We'll do one more. Let's go with this.
Is it T. Higgins trade still in play?
Probably now, not because they're not going to trade him. But this would be the fit because he's an outside receiver.
This is the kind of player they need to be looking for at this point. Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's probably more likely a guy like Hopkins than Higgins.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would be the guy. Like, that's if you could like plug a receiver into this of all the guys who've been rumored to be available this offseason, it's T. Higgins. It's gonna be 14 and next year and probably the year after that. But you plug T. Higgins. All right, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's gonna be more than 14. One more top 100 pick, current or future.
Yeah.
You plug T. Higgins into this. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Now it's more than just, all right, they're going to be better than they were last year. Now it's like, all right, they're going to be like something.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but this is the time to do it. We're going to wrap it up now. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. 5 days in a row. It's been fun. We'll be back next week to put another, not a bow, because things are going to continue to, you know, go on throughout free agency, but we'll talk about what happened over the weekend. Hopefully we get some more Patriots news that we can touch on, but we'll be back Tuesday. I do want to shout out FanDuel, FanDuel.com/Boston. What you can do now is actually scan this code right on screen and sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston, and you will get $200 in bonus bets. Again, that's FanDuel.com/Boston. Helps us out, helps the show out, helps out CLNS Media. And so we appreciate it, guys. Thank you again for joining us. Until next week, you can follow Alex on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Kadlec. Read both of our stuff at 985thesportshub.com and CLNSmedia.com. Again, thank you all for joining us this week. It's been fun, and we'll be back next week with even more Patriots news here on the Patriots.